Warning. In accordance with U.S. Code 1984, we are required to inform you, the audience, that the following content has not been reviewed by the Department of Homeland Security's Board of Disinformation Governance. As such, it may contain disinformation. In the event that said disinformation proves to be true, no retraction or re-review will occur. You have been warned.
Man Tools is brought to you by EXO Auto Works. EXO Auto Works is Colorado Springs' home of the $40 synthetic blend oil change. Call now, 719-375-3232, or visit exoautoworks.com to make your appointment.
Call us today in order to schedule your $80 wheel alignment on most vehicles.
Enharmonic Studios. Enharmonic Studios is a hybrid digital analog facility designed to be quality and affordable to anyone who wants to make history. Call today, 719-963-2020, or go to facebook.com/enharmonicstudios. Trevor's Beard is brought to you by The Beard Struggle. The Beard Struggle is my go-to for beard hygiene and styling products, so you should click the link below and use the code TLANE15, that's TLANE15, for 15% off your order. Madrid Maintenance. Madrid Maintenance offers excellent handyman services in the Colorado Springs area, starting at just $35 an hour. You can reach them by phone at 719-963-2020 or online at facebook.com/Madrid Maintenance. The Tool Bar, our new line of handmade soap produced in partnership with Crafts by Carolyn Lane, available on Etsy. This soap packs a punch of manly scent, like oak and fig, fresh cut lumber, cedar, and more masculine fragrances being developed all the time. With a soft touch of natural oils to cleanse and moisturize, use the link below to buy the Tool Bar now. Once you try it, you'll never want to wash with anything else.
From EXO Auto Works. Streaming all over the world. It's your weekly dose of toxic masculinity. With Eric Madrid.
Because if too many people are just running around with their dicks out, it's called the Harambe variant.
And Trevor Lane.
No. Of Karen.
I'm just gonna say it's kind of hard to live up to that intro. It's like we give him this amazing intro and then you get this. All of this. It's not what you wanted to see on a Thursday night. I guarantee it. You do so good with that stuff, man.
Yeah, sometimes.
Seriously, like, you're going to leave me and, like, go work for a real podcast someday.
They'd have to offer me quite a bit.
More than you make here?
That's right.
That's not a lot. I could up it with some pocket lint. Anyway, what's up, everybody? Welcome to another Thrills and Spills Chills episode of Man Tools. It's officially Cinco de Mayo. That's right. Also, it's the Revenge of the Fifth, if you're... Yes. Nerd.
Yep.
Nerd. People are like, may the fifth be with you. I'm like, you're a fucking moron. Like, there's a whole rhyming scheme to this. Like, it's a whole thing. I found a new one, though. This is the May.
Yeah?
Yeah, like, this is the way.
This is the May?
You haven't seen... Right. You've seen the Mando, right? Mandalorian? Yep. This is the May. So you can use it all month.
I can dig it.
Right? It's an excuse to drink green milk all month.
Green milk.
Well, let's do this thing. How was your week?
Not bad. How about you, buddy?
I had a bunch of busted sprinklers and stuff that didn't work from last year.
That's what it sounded like.
Yeah, we'll get into that next week because I've already sent a little note. We'll see what happens if social media works.
Sometimes it does, sometimes it don't.
You know, I got like three or four of them that I came out of the same batch. So I think you guys might want to, you know, help me out here because I'm kind of eating.
Right.
Like $85 right now. It's not cool. So I did a thing.
Mm-hmm.
I got a Kemper. We talked a little bit about this last week.
Yep.
Or ordered it. Well, it showed up. And I'm not bagging on the Axe FX, but when I plug into the Axe FX and play and record, it feels like I'm hitting play on the CD and then playing along with the record not plugged in. Like hitting all the notes perfect.
Right.
With the Kemper, it feels like my head is in the room and the cab is mic'd up in the other room. It's amazing.
Okay.
It feels real.
Yeah.
It's amazing. I didn't want to come today. I didn't want to go to work today. I didn't want to do shit today. I was playing last night. I was like, oh my God, it's like 2 a.m. I better get some sleep. I'm just fucking around with this thing, going through some of the patches and presets. So I'm going to profile my Triaxis that I've had since, what, 1994? And I'm actually going to sell them. I'm going to sell the packs.
Okay.
You know, put up a pack for everybody to purchase for like $50 and run through all the presets and just capture the Triaxis, because I've got one of the old ones that's the pre fat mod and the doesn't have the blah blah blah, it's the right serial number, so that whole internet thing, which is a bunch of bullshit because they're all the same, but it does legit have that serial number and
doesn't have the fat so mod. the nerds
are like just it. Gonna yeah. pay the $50, so I'm down to do that. I think that would be a cool money making and fun fun weekend endeavor,
right?
Because I could put up my and make a little YouTube video of it, you know, because I 3D printed that mic clip, the Fredman mic clip or mm-hmm. Friedman mic clip. So I 3D printed that thing, and it sounds amazing. You put 257s, like it's supposed to be exactly where they're supposed to go.
Right.
So badass. Because they're like $200 for the mic clip. I was like, I'm just going to go. Waited like 5 hours, and it printed it out. Guitar. Welcome to episode 2 of Guitar Nerd Out. Because Gear Talk over here. last week we bagged on Metallica, I think.
Yeah, a little bit.
We should bag on John Mayer. That guy's a fucking gear slut. All of the gear. And he basically just put out a new Strat that's just a Strat, but it's a PRS Strat.
It's the John Mayer.
It's like $1,800. I'm like, you're out of your goddamn mind, John Mayer. It's $1,800. You're not Eddie Van Halen. What's wrong with you? And people are buying them up.
Yeah.
Fucking stupid. I don't know. It's a Strat. I could go get a MIM Strat for like $65 on Craigslist. And
you
probably,
sure could.
Probably do the exact same thing with it. So it's not the gear, it's the ears. Whatever. There's some gear to it. Anyways, there was something else I was going to talk to you about real quick in the whole, job interview. I went and did that yesterday.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. So, you guys know I worked for a home building place for a while, a restoration place for a while, and then myself forever. I killed the interview, like murdered it. You know, dude's asking me like all those, you know, stupid questions. He's like, well, what is quality? I'm like, when the scope of work is completed to the scope of work and the customer's approval and we get a check. Like, he's like, yeah, that's pretty good. Da, da, da. You know, like nailed all the silly shit. Here's the thing though. If you go to a job interview and you kind of want to do it, but you kind of don't, you kind of want to make an impression, but you kind of don't give a fuck. Like, you know, I make more money working at home, but I got to do a lot more work. Bring donuts. The office girls love you.
Yeah.
Oh my God, he brought donuts. He's so awesome. Like, the office girls are like all about it. They were just like, oh my God, this guy's so nice. Da, da, da. You know, don't set your coffee on the boss's desk. That's a dominant, you know, thing. I was like, I'm not going to set this down. Right. And the other fucked up thing was I walked in there and I was like, is this the casting couch like place? Because he had the same setup as the fucking, you know, That casting couch guy, I forgot what that channel was. Backroom Casting Couch Yeah, that guy. I looked in there, I was like, he looks at me, he's like, what? I've got too many jokes, bro. He's like, and when he asked me a couple of stupid questions, I'm like, well, we're all adults. Like, we're here to work. Well, what would happen with your company that you, like, well, you'd fold it up and you'd probably gain some clients because you sell yourself with the company behind you and, you know, you don't double dip. You just don't. It's not the way to do it. I've fired guys for double dipping on me because the problem is they go out on their own. They've got my fucking name on the thing, but they're doing it themselves and they fuck something up and then the homeowner comes after me. I'm like, well, they fuck shit up and it's on your insurance. I'm like, no. You hired them on the side because you only paid a third of what you should have.
Right.
And that's the reason you pay the extra money. So he was pretty stoked about that. We'll see. I think they're offering just under going wage. And I'm like,
bonuses and stuff though?
2% for the 30% if you hit your 30% margin, right. Which, you know me, man, I fucking nail that like all day long. But the jobs are small. There's the catch. There's a lot of them, but the jobs are all small. They're all under 10 grand. I'm used to doing like, you know, 500,
right.
$1 million. Yeah, I'm used to that stuff. So we'll see. If you come into a play, there's the man tools part of this. If you come into an interview from a point of power, have fun with it. You know, don't be a douche, but have fun with it. Have fun with them. Build a rapport because you know what? Maybe they'll farm you some work even though they didn't hire you because you're overqualified. I'm pretty sure that was what I got.
Yeah.
That whole, like, you're overqualified. We know, I don't know if we can afford you. Right. So.
But they might sub you out.
Sub me out.
Yeah.
So, you know, they like the way I do business and they like they like the way I talked about stuff and had shit organized.
All right.
So that's a good tip for a job interview.
Yeah. Cool.
Right. I have really shitty handwriting. I tried to fill out that paperwork and I was like, oh my God, I have just gotten so bad at handwriting. I'm used to typing everything or speak to text. Like,
I'm surprised most places don't hand you a tablet.
I'm surprised that they didn't just have my resume on file. Were they trying to like double check stuff or what?
I don't know.
Whatever. I don't know. But yeah. Well, happy Cinco de Mayo.
Yeah. Happy Cinco de Mayo.
I thought we were having Coronas, but.
No. We're drinking the actual beer that Mexicans drink.
Yeah, that's fair point. You think Australians drink Foster's? They're like, fuck this crap. Let's send it to America. Jesus Christ. Do you remember in the 80s when you were rum running? Like, my mom dated a bunch of bikers, so they were rum running Coors to other states that.
Oh, yeah.
Didn't have
back
it.
Back when it was illegal.
Back when it was illegal to take Coors. We don't drink Coors in Colorado. Not really.
It's not like, really.
We have real breweries. Anyway, yeah. Funny. I digress.
Well, we got a great show. We got a great guest. Plural. Some great guests.
Plural.
And I think we should bring them in and...
And abuse them?
Chat.
On the man tools?
Yeah.
All right.
So we're going to bring in... Let me get this set up. This is always the hassle.
Good segue. Nice job. It's like a real podcast.
That's what happens when the producer is also a host.
And a drunk.
I'm not a drunk.
I mean, do you go to meetings?
No.
Well, then you're not an alcoholic. You're a drunk.
Well, okay.
Okay.
We're going to bring them in now. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the show... Jacob and Stormy Sutton. Jacob hosts a podcast called Micro Obsessions. Okay. Can you hear Eric?
Can you hear me?
Oh, hang on. No, because I do this every time. Hang on.
This is going to be the best show ever.
I changed the microphone when I should change the speaker.
Yeah.
All right, now give us something. Okay, there we go.
We're here.
All right. Yeah. I do that every time.
It's a setting.
Well, welcome to the show, Jacob and Stormy Sutton. I know, Jacob, you host a show called Micro Obsessions.
And Stormy works a day job so he can sit at home and do his podcasting. Figures.
Actually,
she's like, whoa, a little too close to home.
I write songs for a local artist in our area, and I feature in a few different stuff around town. So
marvelous.
I'm the one that gets to play a little bit more.
Yeah, I work a 9-to-5 as a draftsman. So, yeah. But yeah, Micro Obsessions. It's basically just a little show that I started to have guests on and talk about all of my little fascinations that I have, or as I call them, micro obsessions.
Well, I guess kind of more the reason why you reached out to us to hang out with us was you're some young people. I don't know. I know, Jacob, you said you're 22, and I'm assuming, Stormy, you're right around there as well.
I'm 22.
Yeah. And your parents, you're raising kids, and one of your kids is on the autism spectrum.
He is what's considered it's called generalized autism spectrum disorder is what his official diagnosis was.
Yeah, it's basically just saying that he's on the autism spectrum, but we don't know where he falls there yet.
Right.
He's nonverbal. He can't really communicate except through American Sign Language. We try and teach him some ASL here and there, but
he also uses an AAC program where he can push a button and talk to us without having to verbalize, since he can't.
Okay. Well, and I mean, parenting is a challenge anyways. And parenting when you're very young is a challenge anyways. And then this just adds even more challenges to something that's already very challenging. So, I guess let me start with, you said he's nonverbal. How old is your son?
He is a little over 2.
Okay.
He's a little over 2 years old. We actually got the diagnosis when he was about 18 months.
Yes, and we officially, I don't know if you guys know our area very well, but there's a pretty big hospital about 2 hours from us in Birmingham, Alabama. It's called UAB, and we traveled there, and he got his official diagnosis about 3 months ago.
Okay.
But he's been in the programs for like 5 months now, so.
What would you guys, I guess, say is the biggest challenge with a situation like this?
Oh, God. Well, you know, obviously the challenges that come with being a young parent, like having to manage your finances when you barely even have, you know, any finances to manage, and then just all the stuff that comes with him being on the autism spectrum. Like, as we said, he's nonverbal, so he can't communicate his needs. He can't tell us when he is hungry or thirsty. We just kind of have to do guesswork and keep a routine. But the biggest thing is probably sensory issues. Like,
he gets like sensory overload and just completely melts down. And with the non-communication, it's really difficult to try and figure out what is bothering him and how we can eliminate that and how we can fix it. He also doesn't have hunger or thirst cues. So if you don't put a food or a drink right in front of him, he won't, obviously he can't tell you, but he won't even like lead you to the kitchen or anything. So there's been times where he wouldn't drink for like an hour and then just stop drinking for like 3 days. Wow. And end up in the hospital because he lost, you know, that ability to know that cue, you know. And so there are some rough patches in there, but overall he keeps us on our toes because he's practically fearless, you know.
That's the other thing, he has no sense of self-preservation.
Not at all.
Like, she was getting ready to take him to a physical therapy session, and he thought that he could make it down the stairs without using his legs.
We have, like, 3 huge concrete steps leading up to the house, and he just jumped and, like, face planted. It was terrible, but
So needless to say, he missed that therapy session.
Yeah.
But he's such a ball of light. He's constantly giggling and smiling, and he never meets a stranger. And
which is also sometimes a problem.
Yeah. But I don't know what we would do without him. He's definitely made our lives a lot more enjoyable.
And now, are both your kids boys?
Yes.
Yes, okay. We have two boys. Oliver, the younger one, he's 9 months. And there's actually, what we figured out through Jonah's pediatrician, there's actually a 70% chance that he'll be on the autism spectrum as well.
So, needless to say, we have made the decision not to have any more children because we didn't know that going into it, you know?
Wow. Yeah.
I have no dog in this fight. I don't have kids. I don't know.
Luck put it that way.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not a thing. So yeah, what else are we going to talk about? How about this songwriting thing? I'm down with that.
Oh yeah.
Oh, for me? Yeah. So one of my buddies, he's actually still in college, but he comes down every once in a while from Tuscaloosa. And we just write together, collaborate. I used to, you know, sing at local bars. I've got a couple songs out on Spotify that I featured in or that I've written and my name is in the credits. It's just more of like a hobby. I wanted to do it professionally. And, you know, I auditioned for The Voice and all that stuff when I was younger. But after I went into the Navy and found out I was pregnant, so I got to come home, so all of that fun stuff.
Wait a minute,
but
you were out at the Navy and you got pregnant? Wait a minute. Jacob. Yeah. No. Jacob. Jacob. Hold on.
Yeah. I was in Great Lakes, Chicago for a little while, and when I got to come home for a little bit, I immediately found out I was pregnant, so that's when all of that started, so I didn't really get the chance to, you know, venture out, but I still do a lot of side work, just for fun, you know.
Well, in this day and age, that writing and releasing a record is, it's very easy to do. So, you know, I do it a lot.
That's that technology thing.
It's that technology thing.
I don't think she makes any music you guys would be interested in. It's mostly
You'd be surprised. I've got a project starting right now. We're going to call it Alternative Mood Solution, and it's all just ambient, cool, trippy shit, like on a loop, so that it can just be a nice big YouTube channel. So there's a trend right now, and Trevor's daughter hit me to it. It's the lo-fi, which doesn't mean what we thought of me when we were kids, lo-fi. But I've been listening to it the last couple of days. And there's actually a channel on the Apple Music, lo-fi stuff, and that's exactly what I was looking at doing. Just ambient, cool, not a lot of vocal. Or if it is, I want to do more vocally stuff, but it'll be more textured and layered craziness. So yeah, it's gonna be fun. So you'd be surprised. Like, I've been in country bands, I've been in metal bands, I've been in hip hop bands. Wow. I've cut heads with a DJ on, you know, he was de-scratching and I was on guitar. It was a lot of fun. Like, it's all music. You only get 12 notes. Whatever you do with them, that's your own business. And it's amazing.
I knew you guys were into, like, the metal scene or whatever, because, like you guys said in the intro, y'all talked about Metallica last episode or something like that.
Yeah.
Well, they're a pop band now. I mean,
yeah, well, yeah.
There hasn't been any metal since 1989, so out of that band.
Yeah, I'm big into, like, Metallica and Slayer and fucking Megadeth, Judas Priest, all that stuff. So, like, I figured I'd be right at home with you guys, but it sounds like you're a little more ventured out there.
He is.
Yeah, Trevor is very, how would I put this? How did
I fit into a box.
Yes. I wasn't going to put you there, but I was going to back you into a corner. Trevor's a very niche market metal guy.
Yeah.
I have a funny Iron Maiden story about Trevor. It was hilarious. But, no, it's, music is, it's all good and it's all terrible. It just depends on who you are. So, you know, you get somebody who's hardcore rap and then all they want to listen to is gangster rap, and that's the only thing that they've let into their lexicon. They're going to hate you know, pop music, or they're going to dislike Prince. How do you dislike Prince? Like, you can't. It's weird.
I bet.
You know? Give it a listen.
Nah, I'm good. I'll steer clear of Prince. But
well, my problem with Prince is that he can dance around in those high heels, sing those high notes in the tight assless chaps, and not miss a single note on the guitar. That son of a bitch.
Yeah, you gotta give him that.
He was one of the most talented. Yeah, once in a generation type talented. That guy was nuts.
So, Eric, you were construction, right?
Sort of.
I figured we would kind of like have a love-hate relationship, because like as a draftsman, I make the erection drawings for buildings.
When I was in fifth grade, that's all I did in my school books too, make erection drawings. I'm super good with, especially when the plans are on point. I do a lot of restoration, so that here it would actually bore you because you have to draft it back to its original spec. Does that make sense?
Yeah. No, I've done a little bit of that. It's not fun.
No, it's not challenging at all. Oh, I gotta, you know, you get a crayon and a cocktail napkin and the old blueprints and just like trace them. You're like, oh, geez. Because that's all insurance wants to pay for is replacement of, yeah. There's no addendums, there's no additions. So I like doing remodels because you can get away with, you got a little more flexibility and creativity. They're fun.
Well, I mostly work in steel construction. I didn't know if you had any experience with it.
I don't do a lot of commercial. Mostly residential.
That's what I had figured, yeah.
That commercial stuff in Colorado is super hard to break into. And there's a lot of testing.
We're in the South where there's a Dollar General on every corner and they're constantly putting more up. So that's like 80% of the work I'm doing right now.
Right. You're sitting there going, how do I be creative with a Dollar General / liquor store? how do I be creative with that combo?
I actually wanted to pitch a Dollar General / strip club / liquor store.
I mean, I figured they're all in the same strip mall, right? Like,
yeah,
it's just, that's how it works here too. Oh, and a church. Can't forget that. Cause,
and you got to squeeze
a church. You got to squeeze a church in there. And by church, I mean a big rectangle room with a lot of folding chairs and some dubious carpet.
It has to be like red checkers.
Yeah, seriously. Just like, what is this?
And the stained glass work will be Jesus holding a Dollar General bag drinking a 40.
Right? Fucking Mad Dog 2020. no, it's wine, right? So they need some Boone's Farm. That's what it is. Yeah. That cheap
wild coach.
The Boone's Farm. Boone's Farm Jesus. That'd be a great name for a bluegrass band. You need to write a song. Okay, Stormy, you gotta write a song. Boone's Farm Jesus. I'll record that shit. It'll be fun as hell. Yeah, that'd be awesome. Just put it in B.
Another thing that we do a lot of is mini storage buildings around here, because apparently people don't have enough room to put all their shit.
Dude, don't even get me started. Don't even fucking get me started. We drive around town. Everywhere there's a... I was like... Trevor and I were going to do... This is my one big regret. In 2005 or somewhere, we were going to build a... rehearsal spaces for bands and have that as a passive income. We chickened out and didn't do it. And then I said, well, we should do a storage unit. And we chickened out and didn't do it. Everybody I know that's done it, they've all done storage units. And then Doug and I were going to get a storage unit. He's like, no, I really want to buy a bar. We're going to do a bar. Next time I'm going to lose a whole bunch of money, I'm going to do it a way better way. Should have bought a storage unit. So me and the chick are driving around everywhere we go, Like, oh, they're throwing up another storage unit. Throwing up another storage unit. We're like, what are they building there? Storage unit. The whole town. I'm like, fuck, why didn't we put up a storage unit 10 years ago? We wouldn't have to be working right now.
No, we wouldn't.
Storage units are surprisingly a booming industry, and I don't know why. Like, we have more closets in our house than we could ever fill up, and people are paying to put their shit somewhere.
Yeah, they can't just throw it away.
I think that's it. I think people...
they imbue their garbage and their with this nostalgia, and they can't let go of it.
Yeah.
Like, my mom's like, do you want any of your stuff from when you were a kid? I'm like, I don't remember any of that shit. Throw it in the trash, Mom. No, she put it in the storage unit, and then when she died, I had to go clean all that shit out. I was like, see, you're just, all you're doing with storage unit is you're putting work on your kids when you die. That's all you're doing. It's cruel. It's cruel.
And paying rent to never see any of
never that. See any of it, because yeah, you just stack it in there and you can't even get to the back of it.
Well, I'm always curious, are you guys coastal enough that they don't have basements?
Yes, we actually only have a crawl space that is a block and a half tall.
See, yeah. Now I could see having a lot of storage units in a region where you can't have a basement.
Right, but us...
but here where we have basements, it's like, what the fuck
and
is your
attics.
Problem?
And attics. We have basements and attics, like every house.
Oh my God, I've got to get my attic sorted out. There's no plywood flooring up there. It's all just straight, like, 2x6s and insulation and wires.
We need to re-insulate it, too, because it's not...
I think there's, like, a half inch of insulation up there, and... Yeah.
Our house was built in the 30s, back when TVA and stuff was built. And so when we bought it from a younger couple that had flipped it, but they didn't touch the attic.
Yeah.
And we went up there, like, what, 2 weeks ago and found a newspaper from the 60s.
Yep. Always get your home inspection.
Well, we did.
And we did get to caveat that is to stay on his ass, because they basically just drive by the house. Yep, looks good.
Pretty much.
We actually got a guy named David Hinke to do our home inspection, and he was probably the most thorough, like, home inspector that I've ever heard of. He read it up, just a crazy amount of stuff, and we were basically like, yeah, we can live with it.
Literally,
we
it was like
a
laminated binder. He, like, took pictures of the drawers that were, like, crooked. That went.
But he was scared to get on a ladder, apparently.
Yeah.
No, he told us what was going on with the attic. We just basically said, well, we need a house. This one's the only one on the market,
like,
that we can afford.
I was like 6 months pregnant with our first son. And we,
yeah,
were,
that's...
We got his parents' house. We got it.
Well, if you got wires and stuff running up there, it does not behoove you to try to put in a floor, you know, to rewire all that stuff in the attic, because you gotta, if you're gonna put a floor in, then you gotta reroute it through the joists and then put the metal brackets on both sides and then put the flooring down, and that is that's a super pain in the ass. If you can get it to where you can just have like a sheets of plywood down the middle so you can walk around and stuff and then fill that bitch up with blow-in, that'd be your best bet.
That's what we were thinking, honestly, was the blow-in route. But you don't have to have an inspection or anything for blow-in.
Nope.
And it's, because it's not structural.
Nope, it is a non-permittable item in Colorado. Remember our conversation about the dipshit from...
Yeah.
That's great. One of the homeowners is like, you have to have this inspected. I'm like, no, we don't. Well, yeah, so I called, and then so our regional building department guy shows up, and I'm like, what's up, Nick? And he's like, what's up, Eric? He's like, I'm here to inspect the blow-in insulation. I'm like, yeah. He's like, he looks at me like, you're a fucking retard. I'm like, it's him. It's not me. And he tells the homeowner, he's like, that's not a permittable item. I'm not getting on a ladder and going up the attic. You guys have a nice day. I had to call up, pay the 70 bucks, and have him call because the guy was just up my ass about it. So, whatever.
Speaking of home renovation type stuff, have you guys ever worked on dryers? Because that is a pain in the ass.
Yep.
Oh, our motor went out last
week. Our motor went out last week, and I had to replace it. And I nearly watched someone commit suicide trying to sell me a new dryer. showed up to this, like, rinky-dink, hole-in-the-wall appliance store.
With, like, cats all over the used dryers and, like, deers hanging
on the wall. Bijou and yeah, Circle. Yeah. Same place. Same place. And the cops are there, like, once a week. Like, it's, yeah.
So I walk in and it's just a room full of like junk appliances, and I look in and I like tilt my head around the corner, and there's a older gentleman sitting in the back, and he just motions me back, and I go back there, and he's like, "You the one that called about the dryer motor?" "Yeah, that's me. Can I test it before I buy it? Like, can I make sure the motor spins freely?" And he's like, "Well, I was gonna hook it up for you since all electronic sales are final." I was like, "Oh, cool. Like, they make testers for this kind of stuff?" I didn't know if it was, like, when you go to AutoZone and get your starter tested or something like that. No. This guy pulls out a extension cord that the leads have been stripped to.
Yep.
And it has alligator clips in the end.
Yep.
And he just plugs the motor. He stands on the motor, puts the motor on the floor, stands on it, and clips it together and plugs it in the wall, and sparks fly fucking everywhere.
The lights go out.
Yes.
Thought he died for a second.
I was like, your clips are touching, dude. You need to fucking not do that again.
He's like, nah, I'm good.
He looks up at me and goes, "Yeah, I probably flipped the breaker again." And I was like, "Again?"
Man,
do this.
You know, I've taken some cheap shots at the Deep South, but that's a good the alligator clips on the man. Even we're more safe than that here, because our motto is safety third. That guy's not even in the top 10.
No, I believe if he hadn't had on rubber-soled shoes, or if his pinky toe had been like a quarter inch to the left, he would have died.
Jesus.
Not to mention he looked like a drunk Santa Claus with glasses.
Nice. Dude, we got to go there and do a live and remote. That'd be badass.
A live and remote of our town would be interesting, to say the least. We actually just had a business get shut down. Because there were 3 shootings there in 1 week.
That's it.
So.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
I was like, that's all. Trevor lives next to a strip club that has 3 a day. Like.
That's a little rough.
Used to that kind of stuff around here. Around here, it's usually pretty quiet. So when stuff
except
like
for that convict that.
Oh, yeah. Have you guys seen that? It's all over Reddit right now. The Lauderdale County Corrections Officer.
And the convict.
And the convict that just disappeared.
No, huh?
Oh, wow.
That's really like 30 minutes from us. It's like on the news everywhere.
It was on CNN, CBS, all kinds of stuff.
I missed that.
Missed it.
He's massive. He's like 6'9" and like 300 pounds. So there's like no way you can miss the guy.
And he's that gives a whole new meaning to he's at large.
He's at large. Yeah, he was being transported to a non-existent mental evaluation.
And they just disappeared.
And now no one knows where they are. I'm pretty sure she's not.
I was gonna say, was it a female officer?
Yeah, it was.
He started dipping that wick.
Yep.
She sold her house for like way below market value,
like,
and then
less than $100,000,
and then just disappeared.
Wow.
with him. So there's a manhunt going on for him right now. But someone said, "Sell me the rights to that country song right now."
Yeah. Oh yeah, that's a Netflix movie in the making.
Hell yeah.
You need to write the songs. I'll play the soundtrack. We'll make this shit happen. We'll make it happen. That's fucked off. That's so weird. You know, you always hear those stories. It's like, 7 foot tall, Asian man missing in Kansas. You're like, how? How? How?
how is this 7 foot tall Asian man missing in
There's
Kansas?
There's so many hows to this story. Like, how? A 7 foot tall? Asian in Kansas. Missing.
Just had the same last name, but they weren't related.
Yeah, that's a South thing. That's a whole banjo lesson I don't want to get into. I poke fun at the deep south. I poke fun at you guys. You know, you can make fun of Colorado. You can, because we all drive Subarus. We drink. We wear Birkenstocks. Have huge water bottles and drink craft beer.
I don't know. I mean, it doesn't get much worse than the South, though. Like, our summers are horribly hot and humid. Our people are stupid. If you want to go to, like, any kind of reputable healthcare, like, facility, you have to drive minimum 3 hours or just lose whatever extremity has a small gash on it.
I mean...
So...
So, well, yeah, I actually feel better about leaving the big town to go to a small town doctor, because if you try to go here, you're just going to sit in the emergency room until you bleed out.
Oh, that's the thing. Our hospitals are so understaffed, it doesn't matter what hospital you go to. Mm-mm. You're going to bleed out.
Yep. On North Nevada, they built a whole new UC Health, brand new. One of my friends was going to go work there. She was going to be the head nurse of one of the departments, blah, blah, blah. They built it and then lost the funding and shut it and never opened it. So there's this whole UC Health on North Nevada right up there by the Hacienda and the Lowe's and all that shit. Yeah. They never opened. She ended up moving to Texas because she's like, I'm going to be the head nurse of this thing. I can't afford to live here. I was like, wow. We did her. We redid her floors and stuff when she moved, and we helped her move. My company, we tore out all that shitty carpet, and I felt so bad. I was like, how many people got displaced because they built a whole new medical facility because we really needed one, you know? And then they never even opened it. They're like, meh.
Oh, speaking of healthcare, she actually used to be an EMT. She's got some mm-hmm. pretty freaking hilarious
Before
stories.
I went into the Navy, I was an EMT for almost 2 years. So I've got some pretty funny stories.
Tell them the soap bottle.
Oh, no, that was very vulgar.
Well, I can imagine where that ended up.
I'm guessing it wasn't in anyone's mouth or...
Yeah, wrecked him. Damn near killed him.
Yep. See, but the thing is we'll get a call saying, you know, mild stomach pain and show up and it's like a disembowelment, you know? And we're like, what the fuck were you talking about?
Yep. Seen, yeah, I've been there. Literally, I've been there.
Dispatch is not your friend.
No.
No. No, no, no. There's a triage story. That was bad. That was real bad. Like, triage? No, all these motherfuckers are dead. There's no triage here. Why did you send us out here? I was an EMT for like 5 years. Oh, wow. Like, there's no triage happening here. They're all dead. Gang shooting. Like, they all shot each other. I'm like, why are we here? We help the coroner? Like, what are we doing?
Or it's like some random old woman that says she's had toe pain for 2 years and wants an ambulance.
Well, the ambulance rides here are... The reason I didn't continue doing it was because it ended up being like a commission salesman. You kept trying to have to like convince people to jump in the rig with you and go so you could bill them out. And I'm like, that's not cool, man. Like, this is not what I signed up for. So I bailed on that whole thing when I moved to Colorado Springs, but because they're not seconded to the hospital. They're all private organizations.
Okay.
Yeah. Like,
see, most stores are linked to a local hospital.
Yeah, where I grew up and where I started, it was you worked at the hospital, mm-hmm. and then I got to Springs and I was going to continue doing it, and I was like, nope, it's all like I said, commission sales. It was like, what am I doing? You know, what are we trying to do here? Well,
get them into the ambulance.
Doesn't matter what they have. So, you know, toe pain, disembowelment. Whatever. Toothache. Take that $6,000 trip. We were like the most expensive Uber ever.
Just make sure you don't die in the process.
And you don't even get to take the Uber to a fun place like the bar or home after you've been drinking heavily. No. You just get to go to the hospital.
Yeah, and wait to bleed out in the waiting room. Because from a hangnail, like
yeah.
Most people who die in our hospital waiting rooms die of old age.
Yeah, I don't go to the hospital because everyone I've ever known that's went to a hospital here died.
It's a quality of care. It's definitely a quality of care issue. No, we don't go to hospitals on Mantles. If it's bleeding, duct tape it. We use Wonder Dust.
Wonder Dust? What the hell is that?
Veterinarians use it for puncture wounds on horses.
Yeah.
Activated charcoal coagulant. So, yeah. Just throw a little bit of that on there, rub some beer on it, get back to work. We used to have a saying when you were roofing, when I was a kid, like if you fell off the roof, you were fired before you hit the drip edge. If you landed and you made it, you were rehired and bring up some nails.
Yeah, there's actually a really popular use for veterinary medicine around here that's actually used for horses. It's called ketamine.
I mean,
yeah. Yeah.
I mean, you want to be serious. Let's get serious. You wonder why your kids are autistic. She's not happy. She's like, you son of a bitch.
I can take a
joke. Hey! We can all take jokes. We're grown-ups. You're like, you gotta poke fun. If you can't laugh, can't have a laugh, then it's just not worth doing. So what was your guys' last topic on the micro obsessions?
Actually, we went to a goat farm that does goat yoga, which was kind of interesting.
I've seen that. That looks fun. I like aminals.
It was really fun, but they're like 40 pounds, and you're like, oh, that doesn't sound too bad, but they have like sharp hooves, and they like jump on you at random times when you're trying to, so we had like bruises all over.
Yeah. I just watched that, one of the Anthony Bourdain No Reservations where he went to, fuck, somewhere in the Nordic,
Sweden or something?
Weird north, scary Sweden, like, you know what I mean?
Iceland?
Way up north, like scary up
Faroe
north.
Faroe Islands?
Yeah, scary place. They do this like bloodletting thing in the middle of your massage. I shit you not. You know those hot cup things?
Yeah.
Well, then they fucking whack you with a razor blade and you bleed all over the tile floor and then they wash it down. You're like, wait, what?
What?
So,
what just happened?
I'm like, yeah, those hooves. Mm-hmm. Those little sharp hooves running around on you. I was like, I don't know, man. I don't know. Get pokey.
All in all, it wasn't a horrible experience. Like she said, we just ended up with bruises and scrapes. Not something you expect to come home with, like from a yoga session.
But isn't yoga supposed to be kind of relaxing?
No. Have you seen hot yoga?
No.
Dude, okay. So let's put you in a convection oven in spandex and run around.
But you're still trying to like stretch out and stuff. It would seem like having goats just jump on you would make you tense up.
Oh, yeah.
It's pretty freaking hilarious because it was like, it's like groups of like 15, 20 people and there are 15 goats. So you're just laughing at the other people getting like shit on. And they're like, it's a pretty funny experience because you're with a bunch of strangers and it's all happening to you. And you're like, what do I do?
Like I was in a reverse tabletop, which is where you have your hands behind you, like,
and you arch up,
and you arch your stomach up in the air, and a goat jumped directly on my penis.
Ruin the wedding tackle.
Yeah. So I immediately hit the ground and was like trying not to vomit.
Right, and you're like, "Fuck you, goat! Put up your dukes!" And he's like, "I got like fucking no dukes. I can't." I don't know. I think that would be fun to a spectator sport.
It was a good experience to do it once, you know, but I don't think we would ever do it again.
How about this?
And I mean,
fainting goat yoga.
Fainting goat yoga, where they come at you and you're like, boom! And they're like, well, that's better than yoga with dolphins because you might get raped.
Yeah. Yeah, dolphins are extremely horny.
Yeah. Or monkey yoga. Yeah.
Monkey.
The whole actually monkey yoga would be more like dodgeball. Yeah, that I don't know, that sounds like, I don't know. I like petting zoos.
Yeah.
I like going to our zoo. We got a crazy cool zoo and you can pet the giraffes and feed them and shit. It's fucking awesome. And
zoo is a petting zoo if you're not like a coward.
Well, yeah. I mean, if you're or illiterate and don't read signs. I mean, yeah, any zoo is a petting zoo if you're got the like gumption.
And it's called a drive-through zoo. Have you ever heard of something like that?
We have drive-through liquor stores. Is that kind of the same thing?
Kind of. Okay. But your car gets a little messed up in the process. Which, I mean, I guess that could happen too.
Yeah.
Drinking. But. But like they're like bulls and zebras and ostriches and stuff, and they just like stick their head in your car, and you have a bucket of food, and just hope that they don't like jab you, and you pay for it. So
yeah, how large is that release form?
Pretty large.
We actually didn't have to sign one. Like
yeah, we did.
Oh, we did.
Yeah, you had to do it online before you went through.
Oh yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lion or a big cat reserve. Quite a bit north of here, and that's like a year waiting list. There are these huge fences, and then you go out on the a catwalk and basically observe from up above, and it's like $300 a day for a pair of tickets, and you're there for like 3 hours, and it's dubious because it's the middle of the day and the fucking cats are asleep. I didn't buy the ticket. I was smart enough to know better. But at the feeding time, the videos that I've watched them do, those little bastards could jump right up on that catwalk and get you. Like, it's not tall enough. So
imagine you wait a year to go to, like, a big cat reserve and just get mauled to death.
Right? And then fucking dingo took my baby. Like, you're holding Junior like this, and the fucking thing just leaps up and gets him. You're like, wait. Sounds like an episode of Bones.
God.
Yeah.
An extremely late term abortion.
It's like 68th trimester. He's 11.
I hate it when people refer to their babies as like 38 months.
Yeah. No.
That's all first.
No, not 38 months. It's a 62,000 month. You're 83 years old, you stupid ass. Anyway.
speaking of the goats, I actually have kind of like a funny story about my dad and goats. My dad and his buddy, my dad's from like a really rural part of Alabama.
Like, he had, like, 40 people in his graduating class.
Yeah. So, him and one of his buddies from school were actually walking home one day.
They didn't
and
graduate.
They saw a goat with its head stuck in the fence. And so, my dad's buddy was like, yo, watch this. And he pulls his pants down and just starts going at the goat. And my dad was like, oh man, I want some of that. And he pulls down his pants and sticks his head in the fence.
Nice. I thought there was going to be a Velcro gloves joke in there, but that's more of like Wyoming and the sheep, you know? So, you know, safe sex is in Wyoming, right? Rubber or Velcro gloves and galoshes. Where the men are men and the sheep are scared. We're just bagging on all the states. We haven't even hit California yet. Oh, man. Jeez. What's your guys' gun policy down there?
Oh, anything goes.
Mm-hmm. There's actually not a carry permit anymore.
Free state.
Yeah, we actually just got constitutional carry, which is freaking awesome.
So if you're over 18, you can carry whatever.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I got my first handgun when I was 18. It was a Kimber Ultra Carry 2. And I carried that thing like a brick on the fucking hip for 2 years.
Three years?
Mm-hmm. And then sold it and got a Glock 43X when I was 21. That was the first gun that I actually purchased for myself. But it's weird because you can carry at the age of 18, but due to federal law, you can't purchase a handgun until you're 21.
Right.
So
it doesn't make any sense.
It makes absolutely sense.
It's all right. You know, when you're 18, you can, you know, you can, well, it used to be, you can, you know, buy a house and enter into a legally binding long-term contract with the government to go serve overseas and kill people or die. But God forbid you have a beer.
I don't even want to get started on fucking.
Yeah, that's a deep dive meant for another podcast. You have us back as your guest, and we'll micro obsess over that bullshit for 45 minutes. The whole.
Yeah, I like to picture myself as a libertarian, but it's just too much to talk about.
Yeah, I always tell people, they're like, "Well, whatever, I'm American."
Yeah.
I
like, what is the Constitution
saying? I was very lucky. I was very fortunate to be born in this country and to be a citizen. And well, we have some rules and some things, and I think y'all are taking it way too far. You're taking way too many liberties with our liberty. Why is the government making rules about stuff? That's not a deal. That's not the thing. Just manage shit. Figure it out. Just manage it. We'll help you out when you need us. Just manage things. Your management. Don't do any of the work. We'll handle the work. You just manage.
Also, can we talk about how taxation is theft?
I mean, there's a weird side to that, and I'm not arguing that point at all. But for the sake of argument, I'll pay my parking ticket. Because I'm a patriot and I realized the system worked. Right? Fair. But I do realize part of it takes a village. Like, it takes all of us to make all of our shit work. And there's this weird part of me that's like, well, all right, you've got to pay some taxes or else how are we going to get the roads fixed?
Yeah, see, that's my thing. Like, we pay a shitload of taxes here in Alabama that don't, like, have any tangible benefit.
Our roads
are still shit. Our health care is still shit.
Yeah. I'm saying if we're going to be socialist, or at least, like, salad bar socialist is what I like to call it, you know, take what we like and leave the, you know, the rotting, you know, lettuce over there.
Yeah.
Communism. Anyway, that gnarly potato, just leave that alone. It's like a baked potato bar, you know? Socialist salad bar. Yes, public school, got it. I need to pay a little bit on my home taxes to help fund the public school. Well, you guys should probably do a little bit better with your management of your funds. We voted for two things here, not super recently, but recently, the whole legalization of weed. The thing that came after that was the appropriation of the funds for said collection of taxes of said weed. And the one that I've totally voted for was that, I forget what prop it was, but it said that 92% of all of the incoming collections from those taxes from the weed stores were to go to infrastructure and not administrative fees.
And that's the sensible way to do it.
Right? So in the last couple of years, we've seen like those interchanges like up north. The highways are getting a little better. My entire neighborhood is being swept through right now, and all of the curbs and the manhole stuff, all that stuff is just getting all redone. And they just keep moving their way north. And it is a local public contractor, local private contractor who placed a bid and, you know, won the bid to come do all this shit. So I'm super stoked that, oh my god, it's kind of working. Kind of. Mostly. It's mostly working. So yeah.
Speaking of the legalization of weed, this is a hill that I will die on any day of the week. We should legalize, tax, and regulate all forms of recreational drug use.
Sure.
Sure. Yeah.
Easy peasy. Because the thing is, here's what everybody freaks out. Well, everybody. Here's what conservative people who stick their nose in your fucking business freak out. Like, well, drug use is going to go up. Yeah, just like anything. It's going to have a quick uptick. All the people who really shouldn't do them are going to, you know, fucking die. And we don't have to deal with their dumbasses now anyway. Those of us who wanted to try a little speed, a little cocaine, a little, have a fun weekend. We're going to try it out and then be like, okay, you got to go back to work. Like, all right, that was fun. That's cool. By that and large. Cool.
I went to Walgreens. I got my vial of Coke.
I had a fun little weekend and now I feel like shit and now I got to go back to work. That's what's going to happen on mass. You're not going to see druggies in the street freaking out. Like, no, it's not going to happen.
But yeah, then there would be actual affordable, like, rehab centers, because I lost my mom about 2 months ago from all of that. So, like, when he's talking about stuff like that, it gives you a different perspective when you've lost, like, a sibling.
Oh, sure. And the problem is, too, is that they won't do it because the real addictions are those from pharma and those from opiates that do not come from poppy seeded crazy assholes who are sneaking across the border in their ass. That's not where the drug problem in this country really is. So I've seen it happen too. You know, it's
a few years ago, I think it was oxycodone.
Mm-hmm.
I think, the primary company that's behind making that, I don't want to word it wrong, but it was either their revenue or their profit on that went down significantly because they were forced to change the formula so you couldn't get high from smoking it.
Right.
And it was like, oh.
Profit went down.
What does this tell you?
Yeah, exactly. So I always have the 80-20 rule. Like 80% of everything is probably pretty cool, probably legit. Like every, you know, 80% of the people who are given the ability to partake in illicit drug use or hardcore drug use right now, they won't do it. The 20% probably will, but then we have that 80% of back end too. Because we're all paying taxes on it, right? Or we're all paying for we did the salad bar socialism. Now you've got a rehab center that actually is open, where they don't just like dump a suppository at you, a methadone. Here you go, fuck off. No, you actually get the mental health behind it. You'll actually get I've had friends move from Colorado Springs to some small hick town, Montana, so that they can actually go to a VA hospital that will spend more than 15 seconds with them a week. Because here in town, you're inundated. Like, the military's everywhere, right? We don't have enough resource. So you get, like, 15 seconds. Like, oh, you're PTSD here. Take these pills. Fuck off. And, you know, he went somewhere else where there's, you know, the per capita military people are, you know, well below the civilian population. 2 hour intro, you know, well, intake interview, 4 hours with the doctor later that week, a regimen of meds, chems, whatever, you know, a regimen of chems and a regimen of one-on-one and group therapy. I'm like, goddamn, yeah, dude, not mad you moved away. Sorry, right. We miss you, but you're getting your shit together, so. That whole taxation, the bringing it back around, taxation is theft. Yeah, it is. It really is. When we can apply it to the things that your community needs, it isn't. It's a donation.
Exactly.
Well, and I think I think the problem is income tax.
Yeah.
That's where it's like, wait, so I'm not even going to see this money.
Right.
And then at the end of the year, I have to do a math problem and hopefully I get it right.
Hopefully. You already know. I had that conversation with your old lady, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And hopefully I get it right because you guys already know.
You already know. I'm like, where do they send your W-2s and your 1099s? They send them to you and the Fed. So the Fed already knows what you made, but you got to play this game to get it on paper to match up what they know you already did so you can pay what they think you owe. And if you don't, then you're fucked.
I think it's a little different to be told, all right, if you're going to buy this thing, there's a tax on top of that.
Yep.
And then you're like, because you can go, well, fuck off. I'm not going to buy the thing.
Perfect. Perfect. I like it.
But and to I, and just then, go, oh, you made money?
You made money. You owe us 33%. I'm in the fucking 38% bracket right now. I'm pissed off. Oh, that's the other thing. The more you make, the more you pay. And then it's up until a certain point. So it's like, all right, cool. You stay fucking poor. Here's your 12.5%. And I do understand before anybody gets on my ass that if you make to this level, you pay 12% of that. You make fucking this level, you pay 12%, you pay the 15. I understand the tiered structure. So don't get on my math and get on my ass on the fucking Reddits later. I understand it. Completely understand it. But when you're up here, this is where they fuck you the most. And then you get to here. You have to get this huge gap to get to here, and then you don't have to pay shit. Then there's no way any of us, even if we pooled our money, are going to get to here before we – yeah. So that whole income tax thing is just – I just did my taxes, so I'm a little salty, if you couldn't tell. Just a little salty.
Well, you know, we have – like we talked about, we have two kids and we live in Alabama, so obviously we don't make a lot of money. But we were actually pleasantly surprised by our taxes, so I'm sorry I can't relate.
Here's the problem. Here's the problem. This is what's going to piss you off as sort of a libertarian or a free thinker American, right? Is that you basically just lent all of that money to the federal government interest-free for the entire time that you sent it, every paycheck you got, you lent them that money interest-free.
Oh, yeah.
That's the part that pisses me off. I'm like, you don't give me free money. I got to pay interest on it. You loan me money, I'm paying like 22% from the Fed, right? Yeah, that's the part that chaps my ass.
Yeah, that does piss me off to a degree, but, you know, just so long as I'm paid back what I'm owed, which I guess technically I'm not since there's no interest.
Yeah, that's not what you're owed. You're owed at least, you know, 15% more than that. Compounded. Yeah.
Could be a lot worse, though.
Yeah, we could be living in a really, like, war-torn, shanty, shabby, drug-infested, whore-mongered country like Canada.
I did pay for a new Ford Escape.
We pick on Canada here because fuck Canada. There's no really rhyme or reason. It's just they're the whitest country, second whitest country in the region. So that's the only one we could get away picking on without sounding racist or asshole-y. And they're such good sports about it. They're like, hey, man, toolsy, you know, you guys say some stupid shit about us, but you guys are pretty good down there, you know, drinking them piss water beers. Ha ha ha. Whatever.
Makes me think of that exit from Shameless where it's Frank Gallagher going, I hate fucking Canada.
I haven't seen that movie, but I like Frank, whoever he is.
Oh, it's a TV show.
Such a good show. We've been rewatching it. It's about a family in the south side of Chicago just basically being poor and making bad decisions.
All right.
So, in the wind.
Yeah.
In the wind.
Yeah, Schaumburg. Yeah, Southside, like Schaumburg area. That's the windiest I've ever seen. Can I have a beer?
Sure.
Thanks, pal. Ah, happy Cinco de Mayo.
Well,
my near beer.
Before we get going here, why don't you let the folks know where they can find you guys, what you guys are up to, and you know, where they can get your podcasts and projects in their ear holes.
So my podcast can be found on Anchor, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, formerly Breaker. I don't know what they changed to, but it's no longer called Breaker. But just go on there and search Micro Obsessions and you'll find it. You can find me on Instagram at Furwall or at Micro Obsessions, either one. And then all of her stuff that she does musically is on Spotify under Stormy Sutton.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Or we're about to release this new podcast called NDPP, which is Neurodivergent Parent Podcast, where we inform and educate other parents or just curious individuals about neurodivergency and adolescence. And that we're in the process of creating that right now.
All right. That's cool. I like this. I like the helping ones.
Yeah.
So we started out at, and then we got drunk. We started out helping people.
And we made the funny.
Then we made the fun. That's super awesome. Hey, if you guys don't mind, ping us on the Twitter. I do all my podcast stuff through the Twitter. So, yeah. Hook up with me on there.
A little bit of promotion on our personal socials.
Yep. That would be awesome. All right,
thank y'all for having us. Sorry we're such boring
guys. Oh, no. Yeah. Come on. You guys were fun. Thanks for hanging out.
Yeah, we'll see you guys on the interwebs. All right, are we clear?
Yes.
Yeah, they were pretty cool. They could take a joke.
Yeah.
Fun folks. Sorry. I can't. Dude, I'm doing a roast next weekend. I'm trying to be as savage as possible without being, like, brutal. I don't know what that means. I digress. Yeah, so everybody check them out. Micro Obsessions. And then I gotta find Stormy stuff because I think that'd be pretty cool. Drop a cover if she's into that whole lo-fi thing. Do a little collab. Bring her peeps to mine and my peeps to hers, and that'd be pretty sweet. I think that'd be cool. I like your Cinco de Mayo shit, bro.
Yeah.
The fucking thing in my head.
I
don't know why
it keeps. I keep messing with it, and I can't get it to.
It's all good.
This green screen is killing me.
It's killing me, Smalls.
Is it the hat? Hey, look. Official Facing Forward merchandise. There it is. There's the plug.
So, let's see. Let's have a little fun with history.
Well, we'll pay some bills and then we'll do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
All right.
So on my way over here, my brakes made an awful noise. And the last time I got them done, it was so expensive.
You should go to EXO Auto Works. They did a great job on mine and it was way cheaper than anywhere else I've been.
That sounds great. I need to get their number from you.
At EXO Auto Works, we offer the best price on brake service in town. We include brand new brake pads, rotors, and hardware, which saves you money and gets you on the road faster. See our website for a full list of our services. Call EXO Auto Works today.
I take the booster with me everywhere.
All right, this week in history, May 5th, 1862, Mexican forces loyal to Benito Juarez defeat troops sent by Napoleon III in the Battle of Puebla. And this started this began the struggle for independence from the French, which is what Cinco de Mayo is all about.
Right. Which is funny, because if you feel like Russia has the right to run into the Ukraine and take it because it was once theirs, I'd just like to let Texas know to have a little conversation with Mexico.
Let's see. May 6th, 1994, the Channel Tunnel, or Chunnel, linking England to France is officially opened, and you can now drive under the water through that.
Nope.
Or I guess drive onto a train, and then the train takes you across.
I think the train takes you.
Yeah. let's see. May 7th, 1945, Germany signs their unconditional surrender, effectively ending World War II in Europe. I believe tomorrow is actually known as VE Day. I'm not sure why the delay between the treaty and the, like, it's done, but pretty sure VJ Day is the day they signed the treaty.
Greenwich Mean Time?
Maybe. I don't know.
Maybe?
I don't know. I haven't seen that explained.
We'll have to ask a historian.
Yeah. Let's see. May 8th, 1967. Boxer Muhammad Ali is indicted for refusing induction. That was a mouthful. Indicted for refusing induction into the United States Army.
Drew Carey's dad was apparently right. on the team.
Line up his gig line.
Yep.
let's see. May 9th, 1926. Explorers Richard Byrd and Floyd Bennett make the first flight over the North Pole in a Fokker.
That's what it is.
and finally, May 10th, 1960, the USS Nautilus completes the first circumnavigation of the globe underwater. This was made possible by nuclear power because the old diesel subs had to surface. They were electric subs. They just had a diesel generator to recharge the batteries.
Yeah.
But they had to surface to run those diesel engines to charge the batteries. Thanks to nuclear power, the only limitation for them staying under is the fact that there are people, and every once in a while they need to come up and get food.
Yep.
dump their shit and get some fresh water.
I wonder, because if you're going, you're actually going more in a straight line too, under the water.
Yeah,
you're not seconded to the curvature of the Earth and the tidal thing.
Yeah,
right. You don't think of when you think of ships, you're thinking in two dimension, right? When you're flying or you're in a submarine, you can actually think in three dimension.
True.
Interesting. I never thought of that until just now.
The downfall of Khan.
Let's see where I was going with this.
Just in two dimensions, Captain.
Yep. Rudimentary piloting skills.
Like, let's go up and down.
Let's get on the Z-axis, motherfucker.
But yes, that has been the week in history and brings us to the end of our show. And since it's Cinco de Mayo. Yeah.
I love this stuff. We'll have some reviews next week from the Kemper side, and then the 8-String Guild. That should be a lot of fun. Some gear junkie talk right now. I like it. We can get away with playing that stuff because my last name is Madrid.
That's right.
That's right.
And also because I'm racist.
Well, thanks.
I thought about doing.
Thanks to our sponsors who are no longer with us.
That song, seen Cheech and Chong movie. I forget which one.
Beaners?
Yes.
Yeah.
Where Cheech sings, Mexican-Americans.
Yes, they like to get up in the morning, but we have to, so we do it really slow. It's my fucking spirit animal is Cheech Marin, dude. Swear to God. Thanks to our sponsors, EXO Autoworks and Harmonic Studios, Crafts by Carolyn Lane, and The Beard Struggle. Make sure when you go to The Beard Struggle to enter T-Lane 15 for 15% off anything you buy. Thanks for watching and or listening wherever you're pooping on a Thursday afternoon, evening, or Greenwich Mean Time sometime yesterday. We're at mantoolsmedia.com. We're at links.co/mantoolsmedia. That's where you can find all of our social stuff. Trevor's going to create a TikTok, and I'm going to create an OnlyFans page. It's going to be amazing.
We have a TikTok.
It
has highlights because you can only have up to 10-minute videos.
Yeah.
So every time we do an episode, there will be a highlight.
30 seconds.
Go to TikTok. 60. Yeah. 60
sure.
Seconds.
It's about as good as we get. It's as long as we last. 60 seconds. Once again, like, subscribe, share, rate, and review. Get over to our YouTube channel, please, and share the shit out of it so that we can get our own URL. If you'd like to rate this podcast, it is, ratethispodcast.com/mantools. That will help us get to, you know, more of you needy podcast consumers. It'll be amazing. I didn't know when the song ended, so I just went for it.
I don't either. I don't know. We'll just have to kind of punch it.
I dig it.
Good night, everybody.